And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Life without Kirill Kaprizov begins again for the Minnesota Wild, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 17, Mailbag Edition. It's Nick Alberga, joined alongside Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
Nick, we start on a bit of a sad note. This episode is a funeral for your Kirill Kaprizov future ticket. So I don't know if you want to say a few words here off the top, if you've got something prepared, but this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Jake, I'm giving you the full JT Miller special today. No comment.
No comment.
Zero.
Oh, man. Well, we could try to figure out that mess in Vancouver at some point as well, but I did feel like you were already on life support with that Kaprizov ticket, right? When he missed that chunk of time, comes back. Now he picks up this injury. Obviously for Minnesota, they're using the Four Nations break a little bit with this injury timeline. So in terms of actual games missed, maybe if you're a Kaprizov owner, not too bad if you can get him back after Four Nations and for your fantasy playoffs. But unfortunately for your Hart Trophy future, Nick, I think that one goes down in flames, buddy.
Yeah, sadly, second year in a row, by the way. Last year I had Jack Hughes and a really good futures look, and then he got hurt, never came back into that conversation. Now Kirill Kaprizov in that same combo. So we're going to talk about injury replacements momentarily. Should mention as well, Pete Jensen's coming up, news and notes, your mailbag questions. Chris Meany will drop by for the On the Money segment brought to you by Bet365, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365, but three marquee injuries, Jake. Kirill Kaprizov, number one, out at least 4 weeks, lower body injury. Variety of different routes you can go with Minnesota. They're going to struggle to score, but they're going to be competitive. Joel Eriksson Ek is the guy I would look at, but I would probably look externally here for a replacement. Pavel Dorofeev has been on fire with Vegas, 12 points in the last 9 games. J.J. Paterka with Buffalo has 7 points in the last 4 games. And Marco Kasper, who we've talked about a lot over the last couple weeks.
Marco Kasper's a great one to keep an eye on. I know we mentioned him last week on the show, Nick. And okay, how real is this? A guy that was drafted in the top 10 a few years ago and now is finally getting an opportunity and a good line assignment, and he's running with it. A few points, I think it was on Monday night. So, I mean, he's making a case to stick on that top line. I like Kasper, and he'd be available in a lot of deep leagues out there. Dorofeev, I mean, if you haven't scooped this guy up, I don't know what you're waiting for. He's the trigger man on that first power play for Vegas. You watch those Vegas power plays, he's the guy they're trying to get the puck to. Obviously, you want Eichel to shoot too, so love Dorofeev's spot in that lineup. And I think Minnesota, maybe we can get into this a little bit with Meany in the betting segment, but Minnesota is going to try to lock things down. They already did with Kaprizov there, but now with their star offensive player out of the lineup for the foreseeable future, I think we see Minnesota play a lot of games like they played on Wednesday night against Toronto.
Yeah, John Hines has that team playing. It doesn't matter who's in that lineup. They rise up to the occasion. That's been an excellent story. And again, we've talked about that ad nauseum the last couple of years. What does Minnesota do? They make the playoffs. And then they get to the playoffs, and they do absolutely nothing. So we'll see if that changes this time of year for that team. Nico Hischier goes down for New Jersey, Jake. Week to week, upper body injury. Dawson Mercer looks like he's going to be the 2C in the interim there. I'd look externally again. Mason McTavish, a 4-game point streak. Macklin Celebrini with San Jose. And Morgan Geekie's another guy I would look at.
Finally happening for my guy Mason McTavish, Nick. I don't know how many times I brought him up on the show this year trying to pump his tires and get him going a little bit, and it is finally happening for him. And I know you and I have maybe touched on this a couple times as well, and it's probably been shot down, but I am seeing signs of life in Anaheim, Nick. Not for a playoff spot, but I think in terms of fantasy, something we could take advantage of here moving forward. You mentioned McTavish. There's some other names in that lineup I think you could look at. The Ducks are actually showing a little bit of signs of life. I'm not going to say they're ready to make the playoffs next year or anything like that, but I think something we can attack from a fantasy perspective, and so many Ducks are available on your waiver wire right now.
Yeah, and I think in general, the Ducks are a team I'll attack in the second half. They're not going to make the playoffs. I think they'll be competitive. There'll be some guys playing for contracts, so I can get into that, Jake. And I think the other big injury to talk about this week, watching the game, and people got to stop with this Mark Stone attempt to injure thing on Miro Heiskanen. It was a freak injury. Weird lunge at that, but Heiskanen goes down. We'll see the extent of this. We'll see if he misses any time. There hasn't been any word just yet, but I would probably run to go pick up Thomas Harley.
Yeah.
He is one of the more underrated players in the NHL right now, and fantasy-wise, having a pretty decent season.
Harley's the obvious play, I think, here in Dallas for a defenseman that's going to maybe soak up those minutes. Unfortunate, man. I love Miro Heiskanen, yeah. And this affects two teams. It affects the Dallas Stars, and it affects Team Finland at Four Nations as well with this injury. So no intent there from Mark Stone. He's trying to reach across the body, make a play on the puck. He gets tripped up, and the freak injuries happen in hockey, and it's unfortunate to see Miro Heiskanen go down, Nick. I would look at Darren Radish in Tampa, who's still getting a look on the first power play, in a pretty good spot over there. I think he's a guy that I've got some interest in. And keep an eye on Phil Constantino's boys, the New York Islanders. Alex Romanov has all of a sudden turned into a Norris Trophy guy on the back end the last few games. I don't know where it came from, but with Noah Dobson out, he's a guy I think you could look at in the short term.
Islanders are back for Phil Constantino. But I didn't know that Jake Hahn and Nick Alberga were hired by the Department of Player Safety and by the NHL, and you guys are gospel when it comes to intent and this. You guys got to get to the department, start running through the tapes and editing the tapes and going through with some voiceovers. I'd like to hear it, Nick. Jake?
The way Nick reads those, the Bet365 reads, I mean, he'd be great for the player safety voiceover.
Yeah. He needs his visa, though, to do that, right, Nick?
Producer Bob Bender has been suspended 3 weeks without pay. That's my ruling on this. So you talk about the New York Islanders. I think you're looking for replacement options on Heiskanen. Firstly, I would look at Seth Jones, has been on fire with Chicago, or Oliver Ekman-Larsson with Toronto. Jackson Lacombe is coming to life again with Anaheim. But weirdly enough, you know, some marquee injuries in the back end for the Islanders, but they're on fire. They pick up Scott Perunovic from the St. Louis Blues, Tony D'Angelo in the mix as well. They're in the top four there. Who would you rather have of those two guys?
I already said it, Alex Romanov. I'm going off the board here.
Off the board.
Off the board, yeah. No, I would actually take Tony D of the two, though, to answer your question.
Too.
But Romanov's got one of the weirdest files I think I've ever seen. He didn't score a goal all season, and then all of a sudden scores back-to-back. He didn't have more than three shots in a game all season, and then goes nine shots in two games. He's hitting everything that moves. So if you're in a bangers league, he's got the hits. I'm sure Petey's got the numbers on that. So Romanov is doing everything right now. He's stuffing the stat sheet. I don't know if he's got the tap on the shoulder to say, okay, Dobson's out, you're going to get a few extra minutes here, show what you can do. Because you remember, Nick, he was so hyped when he came to Montreal over from Russia a few years ago, right? It didn't happen for him there. And maybe it's finally starting to click on Long Island, at least worth a look.
It is. They've won five in a row, and who needs Noah Dobson, I guess, for that team. We'll talk more about the Islanders coming up with Chris Meaney later on here in the podcast. I wanted to get to the crease. It's always fascinating. It seems like ever since day one of Philip Grubauer signing with Seattle, it just wasn't going to work out. But, you know, who escapes the minors first? Is it Grubauer or Tristan Jarry, Jake?
Ooh, I'm going to that's a brutal question. I'm going to say Tristan Jarry. I'll give it to Jarry that I maybe have a little bit more hope in him, just because at least Jarry's been up and down. There's been some ups. The four years Grubauer's been in Seattle, he hasn't gone over 900 save percentage once. Like, this has just been a complete disaster. It's been a long time coming for Seattle to cut ties and just end this thing, because it's holding this team back. A lot of things are holding Seattle back, I think, but that's certainly one of them for Grubauer. So, I mean, if you still had Grubauer in fantasy, I don't know what you were doing anyways. Probably not the best play at this point. So I don't think you're losing too much, at least from a fantasy perspective. But man, Nick, we're seeing a lot of these goaltenders get paid too now. The middle tier of goaltenders, right? Blackwood, you know, Logan Thompson got paid. All these guys are getting paid. A few years down the road, I'm not saying all of them, but a couple of them we're going to be doing this Grubauer-Jarry thing with. It's just how the goaltending position works.
Are you forecasting a question down the road delivered by Skip about Mackenzie Blackwood and his volatility?
This is what we do. We forecast. We set the table with these questions. Our great questions by our listeners, by the way. We do have a few good ones, so maybe it's time to open up the mailbag here soon.
Yeah, we're opening it wide open, delivered by Skip. Saros, Blackwood, Stolarz, or my G, should I trade to package one for Logan Thompson, who I wanted to get to? A well-deserved contract extension here with Washington. Talk about a contract year for the ages. He is 23-2-3, a 2.05, 927, two shutouts. You know what his ADP was 151.3 in Yahoo Standard Leagues. Like, that is value right there, Jake.
Well, I was going to say, if I wanted any Washington goaltender, which I really didn't, I wasn't that high on the Capitals coming into this year. If I wanted either of them, I probably was looking at Charlie Lindgren. And Lindgren's been fine, but Logan Thompson is vastly outperforming him. And I think we could safely say he's been the best value pick in fantasy hockey without a doubt. He's going toe-to-toe with Connor Hellebuck for the Vezina Trophy. So I get the question from the listener, you know, trying to package and go get Logan Thompson. The only thing I would say, Nick, is I feel like you're a little late to the party here, right? Like, he's had this unbelievable season, and not saying there's going to be any sort of dip, but you're going to have to give up a lot now in fantasy to go and get him. So I feel like this is a trade you probably would have facilitated, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, a month ago, possibly in a keeper league type scenario where, you know, if the Logan Thompson owner's out of it and you could package some picks, you could do it that way. But I think it's a little bit late to be going out and trading Logan Thompson for Logan Thompson right now.
Guys, I love Logan Thompson. I loved him in Vegas the past couple of years when he was healthy, but there is going to be a dip at some point. Nobody who's human can keep up this pace that he's on and have it correlate with the Carolina Hurricanes and what they just did in the division. You know, I feel like now's the time to jump on the Canes in any format or futures look, like for the Metro, for the President's Trophy, right? If Washington's going to dip out of the President's Trophy, maybe Carolina could catch him there.
I got one here for you, Nick, from one of our listeners. Hyman or Stamkos to finish the season? Good question, because these are two players that got off to really bad starts fantasy-wise, right? We remember everyone was down on Hyman. Obviously, Stamkos and the Predators have struggled, but Hyman or Stammer the rest of the season, Nick?
I will go with Zach Hyman because of his attachment to Connor McDavid, who has come back from suspension after his organization issued a statement about said suspension. I just don't know what to expect with Stamkos in Nashville. You know, mind you, the last couple months have actually been pretty decent for Stamkos. It took him a while to get his footing, obviously, with a new team and a new city, but he's been cooking as of late, so I give him credit. But I think, again, the attachment with Hyman, not being picked to the Four Nations team, I just think he's going to have like a monster finish to this season. And I think the Oilers are going to gain momentum into the Stanley Cup playoffs as they begin this sort of revenge story that we saw last year with the Florida Panthers. Which side would you go with?
Well, producer Bobby did say off the top that we are part of the Department of Player Safety now. And I did give McDavid an extra two games because of that ridiculous statement that the Oilers put out. So he technically shouldn't be playing right now. He should still be suspended because of that silly statement that they released. But I'm with you on Hyman, Nick. It is just strictly for the attachment to McDavid. And this is when the Oilers crank it up. We're already seeing them do it. Oilers are a second half team. They don't even care about the first half of the season. They do this every year. Second half, crank it up, get ready for the playoffs. I'm still not buying into Nashville. I get it's been better, but if you look at their schedule, I think some of it's been matchup related, couple games against the Sharks, things like that, where the offense is going to get going. I certainly would go Hyman over Stamkos rest of the season.
Delivered by our good friends over at Skip. This question in the mailbag. Time to drop Michkov. Obviously, this is a question for Yahoo Standard League's non-keepers. Jake, I would do it. We talked about this. This was the reason why I couldn't pick Michkov for the Calder Trophy this season. John Tortorella. That is the answer. He played under 10 minutes the other night.
Well, yeah, and this is just what happens in a Torts offense. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're Michkov, if you're Sean Couturier, you could get health bombed like he did last year. Even Owen Tippett, we've seen his minutes go down at times as well. No one is safe in that lineup. Maybe outside of Konechny, but even Konechny's been benched at times, so literally nobody is safe, especially rookies. So it is tough, but I don't know. It depends on league size. I know you and Bobby are saying drop here. If you're in a deep league, I think you keep them. But if it's a 10 to 12 team league, there's probably better options, more consistent options on the waiver wire. And at some point, it's going to pop for Michkov. But this rookie season is starting to fizzle out, man.
Well, I'll put you on the spot. Would you rather Michkov right now? Would you your boy Marco Kasper or Pavel Dorofeev? Who are you picking? Two of those three.
Dorofeev for sure. He's number one on that list for sure. I love him almost in any league size right now, the way that Vegas is utilizing him. He's legitimately a first power play guy, a top six guy for them, and I don't think that's going to change. So I'd probably rank them at the moment, Dorofeev, Kasper, and Michkov. But I still think rest of the season, Michkov's probably going to play better than Kasper. I think we're high on Kasper right now. He's got the good line assignment, but still believe in the talent of Michkov, and they're going to be playing some big games down the stretch.
Guys, I might rather have Will Smith than Michkov or Stankoven now, the way things have been going.
The fresh prince.
I mean, Will Smith, five-game point streak, playing up top with Granlund and Zetterlund, like Meany mentioned, and that line hit It wasn't as high scoring of a game, but the line did hit. It's been a trending top line. So, yeah, Will Smith trending up in the rookie rankings right now.
Variety of different options for sure when it comes to the rookie crop. Delivered by Skip, a lot of good questions here. One about Freddie Anderson and selling high. I wonder, Jake, in general about that Carolina crease, but I think if you can find value in a trade, I'd probably do it for Freddie Anderson right now.
It would obviously depend on the return. It's just with Freddie, you cannot trust him. Like, people are probably getting excited right now. Oh, I stashed Freddie. He's coming back. He's getting shutouts. He's feeling good. I've been there. I've been that Frederick Anderson owner where I get a little bit excited, and then all of a sudden I wake up and I see Frederick Anderson injured reserve, and this is just what happens for Freddie. So, yeah, if you can get out of it and get something decent back, I think selling high is not a bad play there.
You know, if it was up to Rod Brendamore, Freddie would be gone. I mean, he has nightmares over that guy. He can't stand Freddie. He doesn't want Freddie to play in the playoffs. His hands are tied. But if it was up to Roddy, Freddie would be off the team for sure, Nick.
Yeah, be careful what you say about Danes in this podcast for sure, because Pete's chomping at the bit right here. Here we go. Pete, chime in. Go ahead. Defend your guy.
Here we go.
No, the problem fantasy-wise is when this guy's healthy. Over the past 2 years combined, he has 19 wins in 22 decisions. I mean, he literally wins almost every game he plays, but the guy who was asking the question was maybe trying to package Freddie in an offer to get like a Dylan Larkin. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? You got to get in on Raymond Larkin and that Detroit top line and sell high on Freddie in that spot.
That's fair. And you know what? On the fly, I'm going to change my answer because I almost forgot it's a contract year for Freddie Anderson. So this guy's looking for a brand new contract, whether it's with Carolina or Buffalo or somebody. He wants some money. So, Jake, he's going to play down the stretch. I guarantee it.
Nick, I know you've never met a contract year you didn't love. So at least you're staying true to that. I think the one guy that I hope you weren't in on contract year, Alexander Georgiev, this year, because probably taken the award for most disastrous contract year of all time. But I got another great question delivered by Skip here. Nick, would you trade Elias Pettersson the forward for Lucas Raymond in a keeper league? I just love that this listener specified that Elias Pettersson the forward, that we're not trading the defenseman that nobody's heard of. So Elias Pettersson the forward for Lucas Raymond in a keeper league?
Absolutely not. All right. You know, I know it's turbulent times in Vancouver. I know every day there's a new quote from a GM, a president, a player, somebody who works in the building. I still am inclined to think at some point in time in this contract, Elias Pettersson's going to want to play hockey again or start playing to the yoke of the guy who signed that 11.6 sheets a year contract. So I just think his ceiling is way higher than Lucas Raymond. Raymond's been good. He's having a good year. There's been career progression there, but I just think the ceiling is way higher for EP40.
Raymond has become one of the more consistent players in that Detroit offense, so shout out to him. I think I would want a little bit more back, though, if I was trading Elias Pettersson, Nick. Like, I would take Raymond and maybe another piece, and I think that would be a little bit closer to a fair deal. So I don't think you're far off on that deal, but I would want maybe a little bit more back. And, man, another day, more drama in Vancouver, but all of a sudden they're winning hockey games. So I don't know what's going on there. You're getting Miller shutting down Jim Rutherford comments, but yet they're going out and picking up points and kind of staying in this playoff conversation.
I won't lie, I do love the drama, so let's continue on there in Vancouver. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit connectsontario.ca. As you bring in from NHL.com, it is Chris Meany. Means, what's your play on the Vancouver Canucks? I'm actually going to start riding that team, if you can believe it.
I guess ride them now while they still have Pettersson and JT Miller. Yeah, they are winning games, but it is, I mean, it's not good, right? I mean, JT Miller's comments after every single game, he's sick of, you know, addressing the rift now that we'll call it between him and Elias Pettersson. But you want to ride this team in the meanwhile? I can back that, Nick. But certainly a trade, I feel, is going to happen. And I would actually take the Lucas Raymond side of that deal that you guys talked about earlier.
Speaking of trades, Means, the trade that shocked the world last week, last Friday night, we're still feeling the ripple effects of it. Now we've been able to watch these players. I think Natchez has played, 3 games with Colorado, Rantanen in a couple of games with Carolina. What have you seen from both of these? How's it affecting, you know, your thoughts on these first couple of games with these players, prop market, anything you're seeing from Natchez or Rantanen on either side?
Yeah, I'll start with Mikko Rantanen. In his first game with Carolina, he led the team with 5 shots and 7 shot attempts. His shot prop was like minus 125 for 3. Today, he is juiced, of course, up against the Chicago Blackhawks, who bleed shots, but I still like him to continue to shoot the puck and, you know, get chemistry with Sebastian Aho. You got Blake up on that top line as well. So 2-point night tonight at plus 132. I don't mind that if you want to include Aho in there. 3-1 for both of those guys to have 2 points each against Chicago. They're massive favorites tonight against the Blackhawks. On the other side, I've seen Natchez, you know, get a little bit more ice time the first game. We talked about it on Monday's episode. He had a career high in terms of ice time. He wasn't afraid to shoot the puck in that game. What I've really noticed is Nathan McKinnon. I also addressed the McKinnon's shot attempts in that game. His first one with Natchez was 11. He had 11 the other night as well. So he's kind of turning into more of a trigger man, but he looks, I mean, he's got a ton of speed. So he's going to look really good with McKinnon the rest of the way. But I think the guy that we want to attack is Mikko Rantanen in the shot prop game.
And very timely at that, that they're playing Chicago, because we all know the Hawks have cap space. They have Connor Bedard. And if Rantanen gets to July 1, I think they're going to submit a monster offer for that player. I'm still not sold he's going to re-sign with Carolina. I know they have the look of the eighth year there, but this happened sort of last year with Jake Guentzel. But I like those looks. And you're right on the shot prop. Very juiced number right now when it comes to that. Want to get your thoughts on the Washington-Ottawa game on Thursday. I'm sort of swayed in how I'm going to look. Last I checked, it was at even money, and I just wondered, like, the Caps are such a better team, so I'm actually with Washington on this one. Are you backing me here?
Yeah, I'm with you as well. You know, it's a 5.5 goal total. I like the under there. The Senators have really struggled to score goals. They've gotten decent goaltending lately as well, but whoever's between the pipes, you guys talked earlier about Lindgren and the season that Logan Thompson's having as well. It does sound like maybe Charlie Lindgren will be between the pipes, but I'll still back the Capitals there, you know, on the road. And, you know, the same thing applies here. Jake, you know, Washington playing pretty good. When we get a number like that, it's really hard to ignore. How about the Winnipeg Jets, you know, against the Boston Bruins at minus 125? This is a team that if they score three goals, they seem to win the hockey game. They've won four straight. They've allowed two or fewer goals in each one of those games. And I look at Vilardi today, minus 135 for a point. It's kind of puzzling. We just saw the Bruins give up two hat tricks and seven goals to the Buffalo Sabres. Vilardi's got 8 points over a four-game point streak, 22 goals and 49 points in 52 games. Jake, he's having a heck of a season for the Jets.
The Bruins also stink against good teams, guys. Go back and look at their schedule. Anytime they play a decent team, a contending team, more often than not, they lose, and they lose by multiple goals. So maybe you go Winnipeg in regulation, Winnipeg puck line. Heck, they're even losing to bad teams right now. I know producer Bobby was on the Sabres the other night, and Thompson and Paterka just dunked on this Bruins team. So this Bruins team is just not the same, to the point now we're seeing them significant underdogs on home ice. I think it is going to be Charlie Lindgren tonight, guys, because I know Washington changed up their goaltending a little bit so Logan Thompson could get that homecoming start in Calgary.
You guys know when one of my teams wins, I go, a boom, 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 boom. But I want to be clear that all of these things are for the show. I'm not personally, I've worked for the National Hockey League. The things I text are always for the show. And you can go to the text thread. You could look. I always finish the text for the show. And I took the Sabres for the show. And I thought it was a good spot for them at home. Boston should sell off the entire team, by the way. Just reimagine the team.
Agreed.
Don't reimagine the team. But anyway, it's for the show, Nick, just for clarity.
Bobby's got a beat on things. I totally understand that. Speaking of having a beat on things, the New York Islanders means, are you continuing to back this team? They're red hot. Noah Dobson's out. It doesn't matter, but they're playing some excellent hockey right now.
Yeah, they really are. And it's another team that's getting good goaltending, right? They've won five straight, two or fewer allowed in each one of those games. They've won 8 of 10. They've hardly gained ground on teams ahead of them because it's just such a cluster in the Eastern Conference. But minus 125 against the Flyers, played last night. Owen Tippett went down, not sure of his status. You guys talked about Michkov. Not a team that really drives offense. They're pretty good defensively. They're decent, you know, pretty stingy. But I look at Barzal and Horvat. They're plus 120 over at Bet365 for a point. Horvat's got a 6-game point streak, has 8 goals in January. Barzal's hit the score sheet in 9 of 12. So I'm really looking at that game. But I think we could see some offense. Jake, you were talking about the Ducks earlier. Like, maybe let's go back
to
Anaheim here. I mean, quack, quack. They're looking for their first 4-game winning streak of the season. Dustin Wolf's been great all year, but he has allowed 7 goals in his past 2 starts, 3-plus in 3 of 5, 4-plus in 2 of those games. Troy Terry's minus 135 for a point. Guys, he's got 5 points over a 4-game point streak, 14 points in his last 13. And Vertrano's on that line, 4 points in his past 4. And he's really shooting the puck. You get a good number for him tonight. Plus 105 for a point, minus 125 for 3 shots. He's got 3-plus shots in 6 of 7, Nick.
Vetrano, by the way, sorry to jump in, but Vetrano loves to rip the puck. We know that. Another guy that's kind of starting to rip in that Anaheim offense, guys, is Mason McTavish, who we mentioned earlier in the show. I think he missed his three shots last game, but he was firing. A lot of missed nets. The shot attempts were there, so I don't mind going to him at big plus money on the shot prop there. Meany, Nick, while we got Meany on, I wanted to get both your takes on this. I know I mentioned it off the top of the show. Kirill Kaprizov, your future ticket, goes down in flames. How are you looking at the Hart Trophy market right now? Is it Hellebuck? Is it McKinnon? Or is it Draisaitl? Is McDavid still in the race? Like, how's that shaping up for you guys?
Yeah, I'll start here with Hellebuck. I mean, I just talked earlier about the goaltending, the team just scoring three goals, getting wins. I know it's been a long time since we've seen a goalie win the Vezina and the Hart, which would happen, of course. If he were to get the Hart, he's going to get the Vezina, Carey Price. But this is a goalie that's just been on point all year long. And I have respect for their team offensively, but they're getting a lot of their offense really from one line. So for me, Hellebuck is the MVP. The Jets have been one of the best teams. But Nick, you talked earlier in the week about Nathan McKinnon and Mikko Rantanen being away from that team that has to, you know, if the Avs can continue to go here offensively, led by Nathan McKinnon, you got to feel pretty good about his outlook.
I could not agree more with your take on Connor Hellebuck. He has been that important to that team and that good. And I understand goalies have their own award, but if you look back at the numbers of Carey Price and Jose Theodore back in the day, like, this guy is very deserving of the Hart Trophy. There's a lot of noise in Edmonton. I get it. So I think Draisaitl's in that convo. It's tough to repeat. I think McKinnon's in that conversation, but I think I made a pretty decent point, in my opinion. Rantanen's gone. If McKinnon continues on that the guy never left, then I think he could repeat for this award, quite frankly.
Give me Leon.
McKinnon. I like McKinnon.
Yeah.
I'm taking Leon. Give me Leon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leon likes his money.
We got a singer on today's podcast.
I heard Chris and Jake were Bet365. They task us every week to create a wild parlay with the points and the teams. And I know Chris and Jake were sort of, you know, interacting in the kitchen. The oven was open. I don't know if we finalized anything. What do you guys, why don't we do like a couple part with Meany Han special that will go on the Bet365 app. You could check it out. Go ahead, guys.
Hopefully we don't spill anything in the kitchen here, Means. But I trust you as a partner here in the kitchen. I throwing around a few. We'll cook this up live. I like Rantanen tonight. I know Nick mentioned the connection. Maybe a big breakout game tonight. Great matchup on home ice against the Blackhawks. I like Rantanen for 2 points. I think we start there. It's about +130, something in that range over at Bet365. So I like Rantanen for 2 points tonight. Means, is there anybody you're looking at in the point prop market?
Yeah, I think we can go back to Vilardi, right? Talking about the Jets in the top line. So I like the call, Mikko Rantanen for 2 points. Let's go Gabriel Vilardi -135 for a point. Let's add him in there. And I think, you know, you guys, I talk a lot about, you know, point props here on this podcast over the past little bit, but I think we can maybe take a look at some Seattle defensemen. Can we add Brennan Montour for 3 shots at -125? 3+ shots in 4 straight games. Let's add him. I mean, Vince Dunn is +125. I think you can go either one of those guys. He had 8 shots in his last game, 16 in his past 3. But this is a really good spot for against the Sharks. So I'll add Brennan Montour 3 shots to that parlay. Where are we going next?
I like that.
Jack Eichel cooks tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I know the Jackets have been a good story, but defensively they're still not the greatest team defensively. Let's be completely honest, even though Werenski's making his nice Norris Trophy candidacy back there. Vegas at the Fortress, guys. Do we risk it and go Eichel for 2 points, or do we just play it safe and go 1 point for old Jack?
I like the one for Eichel.
One
four
point.
Legger.
Okay. 1 point
don't
it
get,
is for Eichel.
You don't want to get your pip snipped on the fourth leg by getting greedy. You don't want to get your pip snipped on that. So recap it for me. Someone recap it for me.
Yes, we're going Rantanen for 2 points. Jack Eichel for a point. We have Brennan Montour for 3 shots, and we'll go with Gabriel Vilardi for the point. That's a four-legger. Check it out over at Bet365.
Yes, and somebody text it to me so I can get it over to the Bet365 folks. Thank you. Okay, what else we got?
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca, Jake.
I'm looking forward to some hockey on Thursday night. Means dropping a lot of nice props there. I think I'm going to ride with that Dylan Larkin one. Separately from our parlay, of course, maybe look at Macklin Celebrini, that market, shots, maybe even an anytime goal for Celebrini, Nick. And I love your Minnesota play. Even though it's a back-to-back, mm-hmm. I think this team's playing some good hockey even without Kirill Kaprizov, and you're getting a big plus money, actually, on the road in Montreal tonight.
I don't know what's going on with the relations between the two countries, but I keep trying to call Connects Ontario and nobody's picking up for me. So I feel like there's some issues here with the countries because I keep buzzing them and nothing. So I'm just, they don't care about the Americans, Nick, I guess. But okay,
if there's someone who needs ConnectsOntario.ca, it is producer Bob Bender. Make sure to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers. On the most recent episode, we got our guy Timmy K, Tim Kalinowski, but also from the Chicago Cubs, Ian Happ. How about that, Jake?
Ooh. Ian Happ, nice. Yeah. I love the baseball connection. I'm a big baseball guy, you know that, Nick. So yes. I'm already fired up. I'm getting ready. Pitchers and catchers, I've got to be reporting any minute now. I'm fired up.
Ian Happ talks about Eddie Vedder. He talks about Wrigley. He talks about Winter Classic. He talks about his love. I think he owns a coffee company, does the pour over every day. So go listen to Ian Happ. And Kalinowski was off the rails this morning. I mean, oh my God, was he off the rails.
Is he ever on the rails?
Yeah. Oh, he was wild. Adnan almost left the conversation because Kalinowski was just wild.
I love it. Okay. Going to check that out. Also going to check out on Monday, Week 18 Waiver Wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.